visiting with us, and we're delighted that you're here. We want to invite you to come back tonight, be with us for our services at that time. We're thankful to God for all the wonderful blessings that He's shed upon us, and we hope and trust that God will bless you. And I do want to personally thank everybody who were so kind to us during my wife's brother-in-law who passed away a few weeks ago, and then our son who had a heart attack. Got to tell you about Tim today. Tim is on a plane going over to South Carolina. And I talked to him while he was in getting ready to fly to Atlanta this morning. He has not seen that grandson of his that was born about a month ago. And so the doctor gave him permission to go ahead and fly over there and be with them for about a week. So I appreciate so much your praying for him and for all of us. Everything that you've done for us, we truly appreciate it and ask God to continue to bless you, and we pray that you will continue to bless us. Next Sunday morning, that's right, it's found on December the 22nd. He's sitting right here, Braden Tootin. He's going to be right up here in this pulpit, the Lord willing, and he's going to be expounding, preaching the Word of the Lord like he's been doing in different places. Boy, I'm looking forward to hearing him preach the Word of the Lord. Be sure that you come back next Sunday morning. Get on the computer and just send out, let everybody know we're having a guest speaker next Sunday morning, one that we love and appreciate so very much. Appreciate all of you for what you're doing in the kingdom of God. I want to talk with you for just a little while today. I want to talk to you about the hand of God. Oh, what a beautiful statement. The hand of God. And Danny, thank you for your reading that scripture for us today. And Tommy for the good prayer. And we just appreciate that we can serve a God whom the Bible speaks of that has a hand that is powerful, majestic, and certainly cares for His people. Behold, look, see. That's what Isaiah is saying. The Lord's hand is not shortened. No, the Lord is not the problem with the Lord's hand. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy. He can hear. He knows everything. But there's a problem. There's a problem between man and God. God will not save an individual who does not do what God says. And neither will He bless those people. Look what Isaiah says. Your iniquities, your sins. What's caused the separation between you and your God? Have you ever felt like you're not close to God? You know why? It's not God's fault. God says in James 4, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You've got to get it on His terms. Iniquity, sins have separated between you and your God. If I'm not close to Him today, it's not because of Him, because He sure did love me. If you're not close to Him today, you can't blame anybody else but yourself. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you. He's not going to hear. You can cry as much as you want. You can say, Lord God, but He's not going to be your Lord, and He's not going to be your God, and He's not going to be mine unless we get rid of those things that separate us between us and God. Now, in Ecclesiastes 9, look at it. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Mark it down, they are. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them, but the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us in Acts 11, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Let me tell you, when the hand of the Lord is with you, you can do anything God wants you to do. These people could do so. And look what happened. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You want to get people to believe? You want to get people to turn to the Lord? Well, the answer is to have the hand of God. The hand of the Lord under you. And you're doing what He wants you to do. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, Hezekiah sends a letter to all Israel, to Judah. He wants to invite them to the house of God in Jerusalem to observe the Passover. It had been many years since that Passover had been kept. Hezekiah was desiring to get the nation back on track. Runners were used to carry the invitations throughout the land, inviting every tribe to come to this tremendous reinstatement of the Passover. Some folks laughed at the runners, and they laughed them out of their city, and some agreed to come. Look over in 2 Chronicles 30 and listen. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. This was the declaration that was made according to God, doing what God wanted to be done. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. In other words, they were doing what God approved. When God approves it, He puts His hand on it, and it will be accomplished. Ah, again, the Bible just tells us over and over, and I've got to copy all the scriptures down. You know, there's like 39, I won't tire you with all of them. 39 scriptures with this phrase, the hand of the Lord. 39 times, 36 of them in the Old Testament, 3 in the New Testament. And the phrase, the hand of God, is found 16 times in the Bible, 7 times in the Old Testament, 9 times in the New Testament. What does it all say to us? There's power in the hand of the Lord. How majestic is He? The hand of the Lord is used, for example, to direct us. Read the instructions. I don't know about you. Boy, when I get something, I've got to read the instructions. I'm not that good about it. I've got a grandson that's 12 years old, and boy, he won't do anything with Legos until he's got the instructions. He wants the instructions. I look at those instructions. I read those instructions. I don't know much more than what I did before. I'm telling you what, but boy, when you listen to God's instructions, you do know, you understand, because God speaks clearly. Over in the book of Jeremiah 10, verse 23, the Bible tells the Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The instructions of God, given by the hand of the Lord, will tell us how we ought to live. No wonder you can read in Psalms 119, 104, and 105. Every word of God is pure. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Read the instructions. God's hand has provided them. No wonder you can read also in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How that trust in the Lord is absolutely essential in it for us to be acceptable unto God. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Matthew 6, 33. Jesus said, seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth. Why, we need people in this congregation seeking the Lord, doing what? doing everything God wants them to do first, not second, third, or fourth. They're doing what God wants them to do. Why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Peter says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake." Let me tell you, you can't say it better than God. And when God speaks, He means what He says. He says what He means. That's His instruction. "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The hand of God supplies us with everything that we need. I love that song that we sing, "I need Thee every hour." There's not an hour that I don't need God. I need Him every hour, don't you? Why, when you go to the Word of the Lord, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 19 that the hand of the Lord provides us everything we need. "But my God shall." What will my God do? "He shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And again, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Paul is writing to the Ephesian brethren. Listen to what he has to say. "Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. God will. He's promised. And He will supply our needs. Then we turn to the Word of God. We see Israel. Over in Ezra 7, verse 6, "This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all of his requests according to the hand of the Lord." According to the hand of the Lord, his God, that was upon him. He did that for Ezra. He does it for us. No wonder Nehemiah says in a letter unto Ashbet, the keeper of the king's priest, "that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God that was above me." God told him he'd do it, and he did it. Friend, God tells you, "I will supply everything you need when you seek me first." We know God knows what we need. Well, He is fully able to supply us with everything that we need. The hand of the Lord leads us and helps us. But I want to tell you something. If you want the church at O'Neill to be united, you want us all to love each other as we ought to love each other. You want us not to be full of gossip or tattlers. You'll find the people that are devoted to God that do what? They'll listen to God, because the hand of the Lord leads you to unity, peace, and surely compassion toward each other. In Psalms 133, verse 1, "Behold," what? Look at it. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Isn't that wonderful? For me to love you and you to love me. For each one of us to love each other. To consider one another first. How can the church be built up, be strong? I'll tell you how. The hand of the Lord, when it's with us, it'll lead His people doing what He wants them to do and unite them. No wonder in Ephesians 4 verses 1 and through 6, the Apostle Paul is writing, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. United how? The hand of the Lord leads us to the unity as a result of what He tells us to do. Paul writes to the brethren over Corinth that were so divided up. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, everybody, speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Unity is something we desire. God's hand is in it all. And we have that unity when we do His will. We want to be safe. We have cameras all over this place. We're trying to do everything we can to keep you as safe as we can. You can go wherever you want to go. I'm telling you what. There's one that you've got is the safest of all. And that is the hand of God protecting you. Listen. He keeps us safe. Psalms 34, verse 7. The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Psalms 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And then, John 10, verse 28. Jesus said, and I give unto you and to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You believe it? I know that's true. And then, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You stand when you stand with God in the majority. And if you are standing with God, the question is, who then can oppose us, be against us? There's just none. Thus Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I read this somewhere. I believe it. It's just as biblical as it can be. A belief that behaves. Behave yourself. You and I have the tremendous responsibility to practice what we really believe. And when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to do everything that you possibly can, then my friend, I tell you what, you'll turn to Him. You'll put your faith in Him. And you'll let the hand of the Lord guide you, direct you. Simon, he'd just been baptized. Yet Simon offered Peter, I'll give you money if you give me the power. Peter said, Why, I perceive that you're in the god of bitterness and bond of iniquity. You have no part with us. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Pray God that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art the god of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And you know what Simon said? Simon said, Peter, pray that none of these things shall come upon me. Timothy was told. 1 Timothy 4:16, he said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine which you preach. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt save both you and them that hear you. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. And if any brother goeth on, he doesn't abide in truth. And he goes off into sin. If one of you convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Paul told brethren in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I saw a sign on the church building. Welcome to all sinners. What do you think of that? Well, I pray to God that we'll do everything we possibly can to be able to do what? To get sinners to turn away from sin and turn to the Savior who alone can save us. First of all, you got to be honest with yourself. I do too. We have to either acknowledge that we're sinners, or rather, as David did, as some people know, they just simply think, well, we all sin. Yep, we do. But I sin. David was told what his sin was when he was told what his sin was in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. David said, I have sinned. It takes that to get right with God. I got to admit my sins. Because God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. Romans 6, verse 23. God said the payment for your sins is death, destruction, separation from God. No wonder John says in 2 John 9, whosoever goeth on and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. The hand of God is not with him. You abide in the teaching of Jehovah God. We need to view sin as God views it too. God does not measure our sin against someone else. God sees sin as a rebellion against His authority, despising His person, and defiance of His law. There was a man whose name was W.S. Plummer who made the statement, we never see sin aright until we see it as against God. When I sin against God. Why? Doing what God told me not to do. Yes, it's a sin against His law that is broken. His authority that is despised. His government that is set awry. It's not the size so much of the sin, but the majesty and holiness of God that makes our sin so grievous in His sight. You know and I know, when I do something wrong and I know it, and I know I've done it against my God. The hand of the Lord helps us to see what sin does. The psalmist writes in Psalms 51, verse 4, David said, against you and you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Even Isaiah, in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, when the prophet was overwhelmed with the vision of God's holy, he cried out, woe is me! For I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 6 and verse 5. Company was having a problem. They called an engineer. He'd retired. He came, and he began to search and search and search. Finally, he was able to identify the problem. And all he did was put a mark right there. And he said, there's your problem. Sure enough, the people did exactly as he instructed them. And then they sent him the invoice. And he returned it. And he told them, they owed him $10,000. Boy, that's a lot of money just marking a spot, Jerry, isn't it? Can you imagine that? So they sent back and said, would you please itemize what you've done. All right. He said, $1 for the mark where I put the mark. $9,999,000 for knowing where to put that mark. Boy, these engineers make money, don't they? But look what they had to go through to know that. My friend, when there's a problem with me, I go to my God, Father of sin, what have I done? Every time, all I have to do is listen to what He has to say, because God marks it right every time. And not $10,000, but it took His Son to give His life for me and for you. God wants us, therefore, to do everything we possibly can to get sin out of our hearts and lives. I was listening yesterday to a song. Boy, I mean, that you may know it. It's called Too Much to Gain to Lose. I don't know, Buds, if I'd ever heard that before. It was written by Dottie Rambo. And here are the words of that song. Some of you probably grin. You already know it, don't you? Here it is. Listen to it. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's just too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's just too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, and I've struggled the right road to choose. But somewhere up ahead I see cool, clear water. And defeat is one word I just cannot use. Listen. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Anne, are you listening? Too many rivers my feet have walked through together. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's just too much to gain to lose. Don't lose it. Be a child of God. Be a faithful child of God. Die as a child of God. And enjoy the blessings of living with God forevermore. In summation this morning, the hand of God, the hand of the Lord, oh, it does wonders. Look what we have. All the blessings coming from our God. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, it's time right now for you to believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess His name and be baptized. And if you're an erring child of God, don't leave this world that way. Ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. The hand of the Lord. Behold, it's not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But, you know who separated you? It was your sins. And yet, look what he does for that. He provided Jesus as atonement for your sins and mine. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, come give me your hand, but guard your heart. Please obey him today while together we stand and while we sing.